Yes, hello and welcome to the program Rule of Law, the program that takes a close look at the rule of law in Liberia and is sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. My name is Urias Toga. Today we are the role of the Liberian National Police in the promotion of the rule of law in the country. To discuss this, I have with me in studio the director, the deputy chief of press and public affairs, that is, of the Liberian National Police, Chief Superintendent Louis Norman. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so we will be looking at the role of the Liberian National Police in the promotion of the rule of law in Liberia. If you would like to participate on the program, you can call 06594314. That's 06594314. And together, let's discuss the role of the Liberian National Police in the promotion of the rule of law. Thanks for being there. Superintendent Norman, the Liberian National Police plays an important role in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia. I'm sure you agree with me on that. Tell us, what exactly, how does the police fit in the promotion of rule of law?
Well, thank you for this program. Actually, to say that where the police fit in the rule of law for our country is that we at the mother unit of security, and in this light, we have a greater role to play in promoting peace and security in our country. And in so doing, our purpose of being organized by the House, especially the legislature, is to provide safety for our people, especially their lives and their properties.
Okay, their lives and their properties, providing safety for all Liberians is the cardinal rule of the Liberian National Police in the promotion of the rule of law. But do you think that the police is up to the task in carrying out that statutory duty?
What we are to the task. Let's be frank. If we were not to the task, we would not have been trained. Would not be the security sector, especially the police, would not have been restructured. And since we have been restructured, we are to the task to prevent crimes in communities, in our country, and our borders.
Talking about restructuring, it seems we just have to jump the gun, because I had that far ahead of the program, but you've just brought it up. The restructuring of the Liberian National Police, I'm not sure if it has ended, but let's just say it has ended. But the president yesterday in her press conference alluded to the fact that the security situation in the country is terribly bad, and that this is due to the ineffectiveness of the Liberian National Police to combat crime. What do you say as police spokesperson?
Well, being the spokesperson, deputy spokesperson for the Liberian National Police, the president's statement is in line with what is happening. As you are aware, being a community member, you see that in all communities around here, you hear crimes around every day, every hour of the day. That you hear people, armed robbery, people checking cell phones, people robbing people. You know, one thing the differentiation here is that armed robbery and robbery, they are two different things. But sometimes when these things happen, they say, I was armed robbed. No. Sometimes you may be robbed, but you don't know, you call it armed robbery. Armed robbery is using instruments like knife, sticks, cutlasses, guns, you know, to take away something from somebody against their will. And robbery is like you and I sitting in the taxi. You steal my phone from me. You rob me. squeezing me on the wall, putting your hand in my pocket, taking my money, you robbed me. That is robbery. So I want for the librarian people to know the differences between armed robbery and robbery.
But you have just said that the police, the LMP is up to the task in providing security for all Liberians, but yet we continue to see evidence of crimes all around Monrovia and other parts of the country. We see dead bodies in the streets. You wake up in the morning, you see dead bodies, and you hear news of armed robbery every now and then. And so that kind of baffles me. If you say the police is up to the task, then how is it that we continue to see these crimes?
These things happen, even in developed world. Even the great America, the great United States, the great Germany, the great France, Russia, these things happen. You hear about them maybe on a weekly basis. But in the developed countries, you hear about them on an hourly basis or a minute. Every minute of the day, especially for the United States, you hear about murder cases reported. Every minute of the day, from a state, from the streets, from the communities. But for hours, it happens sometime in a week sometime in a month. But this is the point. The point is that the Liberian National Police has been restructured and trained. Restructuring process continue, although Army announced that they have reached a benchmark of 3,005. But you go to the academy now, training still going on. We have different training. Training is not a one-shot thing. It's a continual process. And the reason sometimes you see these things happening in our communities is that logistics for LMP to work with is lacking. You see that we move along the streets. You talk about armed robbery. How can a policeman go to fight armed men without arm? It's difficult.
So you think the police should be armed right now?
The police should be armed. You know, arms serve as a deterrent to criminals. Now, if someone is in a corner carrying armed robbery with an AK, you call a policeman who don't even have a baton to fight with. What do you think you're doing? And in criminology, they tell you, say, self-preservation. Police life comes first. If you are not safe, you can fight a crime.
The life of the police officer comes first.
Yeah.
Even though he's under the constitution,
but the life of the policeman, they say officer safety. That is taught at the academy. You go to the academy and say officer safety. If you are not safe, you can't fight a crime. An officer should be a winner. Always, officers should be a winner by combating crimes in communities. But if the needed logistics are lacking, you cannot fight crime. You do your best. We are doing our best. Like, for example, police don't have the logistics that we talked about. Vehicles, no. You find one or two vehicles around. Let me give you a typical example for Pinesville, a large area like Pinesville. You have 2 to 3 vehicles. Can it serve the purpose? If something happened at EWA, if the car goes there and something happens at red light, they call the other car, there's something happens 72nd, the car goes there. When something happens at Bonan Farm, who will go there? There's no car. So LMP problem is logistics.
Okay, but let me bring you back to the issue of arming the police. The president said yesterday that arming the police is not a priority of government right now because evidently, there are some bad apples in the police. Lack of confidence in the police, as she said yesterday, is a serious concern to government. That's why government is not considering arming the police now, except that there is a particular unit in the police, the Rapid Reaction Force, that is currently being trained, and that government is thinking about arming. So you are calling for the police to be armed right now. Have you considered that as well, or are you just saying that even though the president said it, but the fact of the matter is that the police should be armed.
Even if not every one of the police should be armed, but some of the police, as you just rightly put it, like for the zones and depots, at least if one or two arms are in an area and the community cry foul of armed robbery, these people will go there with the arms to combat the crime. But at the zones and depots, no, none. Coming to other areas, none. Police walking the street, none. Watch for red light. The robbers, they check the people's bags with their telephone in it. When you go, they say, follow me. They take out knives, long knives. Can you go there? You don't even have a baton. So what are you going to do behind a criminal?
Okay, but you are police spokesman or deputy spokesperson for police. From the standpoint of the Liberian National Police, why has the police not been armed up to this time?
What the president said yesterday in her speech, that lack of confidence in the police. Yes, I do agree. People writing apple. And it's the word of the police director, Honorable Beatrice Monassier, that of the police. And that is true. And the president said it yesterday.
So what measures have been taken to weed? Can you give us some names of some police officers who have been dismissed because of bad conduct?
Well, if you follow trends, we have a professional standard division that has been established at the police headquarters that deals with police conduct, police officers' conduct. And if you can, your memory can serve you well, about 2 months ago, we dismissed about 73 police officers. I think you can remember vividly. You read it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them, lack of patriotism. What is it? They don't come to work. But when month end, they come to get paid. That's corruption. And that bad apple. So others can work, and you stay home. At the end of the month, and you come to get your pay, no. It doesn't work like that. That is corruption. And that is bad apple among the groups. There are others that are coming to work, and you don't want to come to work. How can you get paid along with those that are working? So that's the point of a bad apple. Again, you can remember some time ago, they told you that a police officer was arrested with somebody's cell phone in their pocket. And drastic steps were taken. The person was sent to court. And I just can name them over and over, that the police authority, they are taking the appropriate measure to weed out the rotten apples from our midst, just as the president said yesterday.
Okay, police. The police is taking steps to ensure that the bad apples are weeded out. The voice of Deputy Chief of Press and Public Affairs of the Liberia National Police, Chief Superintendent Louis Norman. Together we are discussing the role of the Liberia National Police in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia. And the program is The Rule of Law. The program is sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. If you want to participate, you can call and throw your question or make a comment to this program by calling 06594-314, and this is the program Rule of Law. We're discussing the role of the Liberian National Police in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia. So many things have been happening. There are so many questions on the minds of Liberians as to where are our police officers when these crimes are committed. Chief Superintendent, bad apples. The president said yesterday that several police officers have been arrested and are being prosecuted as we speak, or undergoing investigation for their involvement, or shall I say alleged involvement, in some of the break-ins, to use her words directly, or robbery. What do you know about those arrests?
Well, there are several arrests. We shouldn't put that to say arrest, because a police officer is on an oath to live by the rules of law. And that is, any officer that goes wrong, he will be called to the professional standard, he'll be disrobed and investigated. If he's found guilty of the alleged act, you'll be sent to court for prosecution. But one thing I want for the Liberian people to know is that the criminal justice system has three components. That's the police, the court, and the correction center. And if we arrest them or call them for an investigation, find them guilty, send them to court, our portion stops there. It leaves with the judicial system to run out their decision whether the person is found the sufficient evidence to implicate this officer that he's guilty of what it is alleged.
Trust in the police is another serious problem. Since our civil war, the police has lost its credibility as a police force. Too many compromises. We see them take the nickel in the pockets, and as a result, there is no respect for the Liberian National Police. Do you think, as police spokesperson, you work within the police force, do you think there are sufficient reason for people to begin to trust the LMP?
I believe there is sufficient reason for the public to trust the LMP, because the salary that they are getting, the pay they are getting, the uniform that they are wearing, is the taxpayer money. So they should build trust where, as the same goes, put your trust where your money is, isn't it? And this is what happened to the LMP. They should trust us. And this is the reason why we have embarked on the educational aspect. We know that police were involved. Some police officers were involved in this war, this past war. And that derailed the credibility of the police. And coming in, we are trying to build the image of the police. And that is the reason why we have established a program called Today Police. And we have established Crime Watch, trying to educate the public about those things that they should do, the cooperation. And we have another program we call Community Policing Program that bring the community and the police together to work together in oneness. And working together, I think we have established almost about 100 plus forums around Liberia. So this is the point where the public began to build the trust in the Liberian National Police.
Deputy Chief of Press and Public Affairs of the Liberian National Police, Chief Superintendent Louis Nomo, we discussing the role of the LMP in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia on the program in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice here on Lux FM 106.6. And if you would like to throw in your comment or question to police spokesperson or deputy police spokesperson, you can call 06-594-314, 06-594-314, and let's together discuss the role of the LMP in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia. Superintendent Norman, the LMP plays or should play a very important role in bringing people to a place of trusting in the force. How much is being done at the level of the Liberian National Police to bring back that lost credibility?
Well, thank you. This is what I just alluded to, that the Liberian National Police, we are carrying out educational programs on radio stations, in newspaper, also along the streets, for one. You see, now we have one person in a bucket seat. It used to be two, but now it's one. We began the program, many cars within the windshield nowadays. These are things that we are doing to build, for the public to build confidence in us, because most of the people, they complain, especially for a Tinder windshield. They said that their children are kidnapped, taken away by other people in a Tinder windshield.
We see right now in Monrovia, driving around with tinted windshield is
either a security car or a factory built car.
Okay, let me take you away a little bit from this tinted windshield thing and come to something more serious. Most people complain that the police is very slow in responding to crime situation, even though you have distributed these numbers, emergency numbers around in communities. People complain that when you call the police always gets there late. Is it because, like you said earlier, the police is not armed, and because they consider their own lives first, that they are so slow to respond to these emergency situations?
No, we should not place that because they are not armed. It's not a problem. The problem is a logistical problem. The problem is clear cut. You get at the police station, you see what I'm talking about. You go to other zones and depots, you see what I'm talking about. Even there are some cars that we have at the zones and depots, before it moves, you have to push it. No. When I was born, from the time I came onto the earth, and no police would be the one to protect lives and property, they have never pushed car to start to go fight crime. No. If you are running behind a criminal, he has a car. And nowadays, the criminals that we come across, they use motorcycles. We see them with some luxury cars around here, jeeps, carry out the criminal activities. Now, you are a police officer, you're going to combat an armed robber who has up-to-date four-wheel drive jeep. And when your car runs, you have to cut off and you push it. Can you fight that crime? And assume having a single car, can that single car cater to about 6 or 7 communities at the same time while crimes are going on? No. So I think that one of the foremost things that the Liberian people should be looking at is logistics. Once we have the logistics, we'll fight crime to the best of our ability. Like before, every corner you pass of Monrovia, every street corner, even in the counties, you see 2, 3 patrol cars moving around. But how many patrol cars you see on the streets of Monrovia, even less the central Monrovia, how many patrol cars you see?
But what is the administration of the, I'm sure they make their budgetary allocation to tackle some of these problems. What are they doing?
That's true. LMP authorities, they are doing the best they can. The reason is that if you read the newspaper, you watch TV, the police director goes on TV and talk about logistical problem. Even at the headquarters, you pass at the headquarters in the night, do you see quarry? No few. Sometimes we only have quarry for 2 or 3 hours a day. When the quarry comes on, you have to do your work on the computer fast before the quarry go, before the fuel gets finished. No fuel. A logistical problem. No cars. A logistical problems. So the problem of responding to crime scene, yes, police goes there late, yes, because of due to logistics, especially vehicles. When you have your vehicle, 2, 3 vehicles in the community patrolling the community, like Pinsville. If a vehicle is going up Pinsville and one is coming downward, and anything happen within that area, you rush there quickly. But if you are coming to a call at EAW Junction or EAW, because we have a depot almost to EAW Hospital, where if the car is there and something happened, it be top of road, how can they get there? It means that from EAWA, before they will come to AB Toba Road, will the criminal sit there to wait? No. So I believe from the education that we have embarked upon, if we have the needle, not in a distant future, a month or two from now, you'll see the difference in the communities. You are crying, wolf of crime. But I believe crime cannot be eliminated, but will be reduced.
So, in the meantime, would you say, because there are some who are now calling on Liberians, especially since the Solicitor General made a statement a couple of days ago that people should stay off the streets late at night. He said he was only cautioning Liberians, but there are some who think that the statement implies that government has given up the fight. The government is clearly saying that, I mean, we are just not able to combat crime. Do you think we have reached that point where, because you have just told us a lot of things here about the police being incapacitated, a lack of logistics, and that makes them ineffective. What do Liberians do? Do they protect themselves, take measures to protect themselves?
Protect yourself in the manner of which you are saying it. It means that when someone enters your yard or your house, you may do what you want to do. No, that is not a law. What is the law? The law is that the Liberian National Police were established to protect lives and property at all costs. And we are going to protect our people. It is our responsibility. We took oath for them. We're trained to protect our people. And the statement made by Honorable Gonglo, if you travel in other countries, they tell you at certain time, don't be this place. At certain time, place. It doesn't mean that the police or those that are the citizens, they are cares.
Okay,
no.
Let's just interrupt you to bring in this caller. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hello.
Yep. Can you give us your name and where you're calling us from?
Eric, I'm calling from Pinsville.
Your name again?
Terrence Harrington Quarter from Pinsville.
Okay, I'm sure you've been following the program. What do you have to say?
Yeah, there are a few questions for the student officers. If indeed there are some bar officers, who do you refer to as the bar one? B, if you think they are bar, how did they get into the service? C, if the government cannot trust them, why treat these people? Will you please tell us about that, sir?
Okay, he heard you quite clearly. Thank you very much, caller.
Okay, let us take the first one. Who are the bad ones? As I stated before, for every organization or institution, you have bad apples. And so it may be with the police. And we are trying our best to get them out of the police if they have formed. But if it falls in the purview of the residents or the community people to give us a feedback. You know, in communication, you have the sender, we are the senders. And they got to give us the feedback of what our officers are doing in the communities.
But what this caller is saying, that a vetting process was carried out. How did these people pass through your filter?
Okay, that's a nice one. It came at the point, if you were part of our process, if you were here at the time, let us go back. On May, the international community came out with the restructuring process. And it came at a point where OME carried out the recruitment. OME vetted the people in. OME trained the people, the citizens, to become officers. So this question, I believe it should be that not the Liberian National Police. What are you people doing? How they get into the fold? They were trained, they were vetted, they were recruited by OME. So they came into the police, and we are depending on the citizens to tell us the attitude out there. And when we get the attitude, the report from our citizens, then we'll be able to take the necessary step. Mind you, we cannot sit in the offices and know what they are doing out there. They got to inform. They have to inform us. And so that's the process. Police were dismantled, in a sense to say. Police were totally dismantled, restructured, rather than new. And it cannot be done by you who is, like for me. I'm an old policeman, but I went back to training. I was trained. As an old policeman, but they vetted me, I would say, because I was vetted in the old, and the new one came, they vetted me, and I went to the training. I came from the training. So, why am I not one of the bad apple, why? And others are. But that's why I say, for every organization, you have bad apples. But they are the ones to tell us, who is carrying on what, and what kind of a police officers we have out there? Then our professional standard division will take the necessary measures.
Okay, so but besides the public, what measures have been taken internally? What kind of red light, alarm light, if I may say, have you put in place to signal to you that hey, this is a bad officer? Besides getting feedback from the public, because some of these officers may commit crimes or behave in deviant ways that the public may not see. And so, you cannot always depend on the public to tell you who is bad and who is good. But what do you have yourself to determine good officers from bad officers?
Let me tell you something. The citizen, this is what we call community policing. The citizen has a greater role to play because these people, the officers, deal strictly with the citizens. They are out there. They are on the streets directing traffic. They are going in the communities handling cases. And if you see that this police officer is not handling a case the way it should be handled, it is your responsibility to inform the national police, the authorities of the Liberian National Police. And that is, we have question boxes around to all zones and depots. If you find out that an officer is going contrary to his ethic, it is your responsibility to inform the police by putting, dropping, even if you don't put your name in it, that part of the educational process, if you don't put your name, but try to get an officer name or a badge number, drop it in a box. And every week we look in those boxes. And what we find there, we deal with them. Let me give you another example.
Mm-hmm.
If you can remember, in May, an officer disrobed and sent to court that stole certain things from the IG community. You can remember?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
He was taken to court because the community came in to tell us, say, this man is not a good officer. He did AYZ. And we went to find out it was true. He was disrobed and sent to court and sent to prison. And you're no more a police officer. So if you read it, you will know what the step.
Okay, let's come a little bit to the police and the courts. The police work closely with the courts. What is the level of cooperation between the police and the courts? Because I was in Zwedru a couple of weeks ago. The county attorney in that county told me that the police commander in that place was a serious problem to the justice system there. He accused the police commander of arbitrarily releasing detained suspects. There was some cartoon of ammunition. He said that that was in the possession of the police commander. The police commander refused to turn it over to the courts. Up to date, he has not accounted for it. I tried to contact the police station, but I was told that the police commander was in Monrovia, so I could not get to him to verify. But that's the allegation. What is the level of coordination between the courts and the police?
Well, that's a nice question. Let us come to the same point. The court, the county attorney, he has jurisdiction over that police officer because we fall under the Justice Ministry. And he's the eye of the Justice Ministry there. And the police commander, therefore, honor him. So, if the man is not cooperating with him, what is his duty? To inform the authority that the commander you have here, he's not cooperating, he's doing AYZ.
He told me in an interview that he complained to the authorities over and over, and in fact, team of investigators were sent to look into the matter, but every time they went there, they never involved him in the investigation process. They only spoke with the police commander and then came back to Moriva and nothing was done. Partial investigation.
What you are saying is a good story for me. I will follow it up. But what I'm telling you, Justice Ministry, we are part of Justice Ministry. And Justice Ministry is the head of the Liberian National Police. So, the man who works for the Justice Ministry there cannot tell me that he's isolated if it comes to investigation. If a team went out that the commander has done on the ground there, that he would be isolated. Either he doesn't want to take part in the investigation. It may be. I'm not saying he did so, but it may be. So what we are saying here, we want for the public to cooperate. We want for the public to give us information. We have embarked on community policing, where for every community, people should be there to give the police information about the activities of police officers in that area that will be able to weed out the bad apples.
So let's come back to the court, the police and the courts. The police are supposed to...
We are working cooperatively, for me, because I was in River, I was in Vonjima, I was in Bomi. You know, I travel around to see the activities of the police in those areas. No one has given me bad. Even the army, when you call the army people here, on their rule of law, they will tell you. We go together and do a census in these counties and communities. We carry out census. And these people tell us that the police officers are doing well and they are not against the citizens.
Okay, we have a caller on the line, so let's just take this call. Hello, caller.
How are you?
Okay, your name and just tell us where you're calling from.
I'm Mr. Robin Deep. We're calling from Center Street.
Okay, I'm sure you've been following the program. We are discussing the role of the Liberian National Police in the promotion of the rule of law in Liberia. So, your contribution.
Yeah, thank you very much. First, I must say hello to the commissioner in the studio.
Thank you.
I just want to find out something because I heard him talking about the vetting process and where they did it after the vetting. And I mean, the recruitment process. What I heard him saying is like, Omnil did the recruitment. So I just want to know from him, what are the impact doing the recruitment program? That's my question to him.
Okay, thank you. He heard you quite clearly, so he's going to respond.
Okay, thank you for that question. At the time of the restructuring process, police were nowhere. The fact of the matter, police, the initial stage of this recruitment process, police did not take part.
I'm sure when he meant police, what he meant was the involvement of the Justice Ministry, the government, and that it was not just unilaterally done by Omil.
Oh, no, I cannot speak for the Justice Ministry, but I'm speaking because he said police. Police during the recruitment process, police did not take part because at the time, police were under the process of restructuring. So where will you find a policeman to say, come and sit on the table, let us vet these people?
But we still have some police officers, senior police officers at Central carrying out some police duties. Because what I saw was even the old police officers were retained and then carried later on to the police academy for retraining. So the system was still in place.
Yeah, but when the process started, police officer did not take part because we're like, I will not use the word dancers, but it like the international community thought there was no police in Liberia at the time. So they came with the team. I was part of the meeting one time. At the time, I have not been vetted. I was still with the police. I was at the meeting at the police training academy. When they came to ask, do we have police officers on the ground? Are the police officers part of this war? The answer that came is that police were part of the war. So how can they use people that were part of the war to go and vet people? No. So they can't. But for now, I would like to respond to my caller. For now, police are taking part because there are people that have been trained and back into their offices that are collaborating with the army for this process.
So Omil takes a full responsibility for...
At the initial stage.
Yeah, what I'm seeing is Omil takes full responsibility for the ineffectiveness of the police or the failure of the entire vetting process.
Well, I would not say that the vetting process failed. I would not be honest to Omil. I would not say so. But it's that people in the community lie to the only officers that went to do the vetting. Like, for example, in my community, I'm the chairman, and a lot of letters, recommendations came from me. When they come in the area, instead of asking for the men that recommended the officers to be trained, they were asked other ladies or the youth in the community, and they go on. And recruit the person into the force. But mind you, people were saying that they are afraid of reprisal. That if they say that this man is a fighter or is not a good man, people tell the man he's not vetted, they will get at them. So the problem lies with Omi, it lies with our own citizens.
So they would you say in clear terms that the vetting process, the one we're talking about that was conducted by Omi, was a flaw?
I would not say so. I'm saying that our citizens should have told the people who they were vetting into the police force.
So people should take the responsibility now for the failure of the
police. The citizens should take the responsibility at the other end.
Even though Omil spearheaded the entire process.
Of course. But our people should have been committed to give the people the full information. But as I said to you, each time we go for a census, they told us that they are afraid of repression. That if people will get back at them if they are not vetted into the police.
The program you're listening to is The Rule of Law, and We are in conversation with the Deputy Chief of Press and Public Affairs, Liberia National Police, Chief Superintendent Louis Norman. We are discussing the role of the Liberia National Police in the promotion of the rule of law. And of course, this program is sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. We take a short break and we'll be right back.
Keep on fighting, and women and children starving, and then the youth them crying, and innocent people and die. Both forget about our differences and come together, live in peace, holding in unity, because we all are one family. It doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't really matter what your color is. From the north, south, east, and west, Africans, we all one people. So please, let's stop the fight, Africa.
Yes, we are all one people. Let's stop the fight. Let's respect the rule of law. We are discussing the role of the Liberia Police in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia on the program Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. If you want to participate, even though we are just about winding down, you can call 06-594-314 and we can still take your comment or your question. And we are in studio with Deputy Chief of Press and Public Affairs of the Liberia National Police, Chief Superintendent Louis Norman. We're discussing the role of the police. The role of the police in the promotion of rule of law, especially in this post-war Liberia. Crime is so evident everywhere in Liberia now. It's become a serious issue to deal with. The police and the public, are there sufficient reasons for the public to trust the police right now, to put some to have some confidence in the police?
Well, for you, not even the public, you're part of the public, and you have, I believe you have confidence in the police. This is the reason why you call the police, for us to discuss the role of the police in post-war Liberia. And the public should have trust and confidence in the police. Because, as I stated previously, the uniform that they are wearing, the pay that they are taking, is their taxes that they pay to government. And that's what government is using to pay the police officers. So they should build their trust in the police. But in building their trust, they should work safely.
When you say cooperatively, what do you mean?
It means that crimes that are, you see, criminals are not living in a tree. They live in homes. And people know them. There are some communities where when the criminals go home, they carry the things, video decks, telephone and things from people. The people rejoice in the community because people give the criminals give them telephone, give some people telephone free, buy drinks, they sit and drink, play music all day long. Of which you know that person is a criminal and they fail to tell the police. They fail to inform the police. And this is the part of the public that is not unique. If we want a wholesome and functional society, we must work in oneness.
Okay. There are some communities in Liberia, because Liberia is not just Monrovia.
No.
Where there are absolutely no police officers. There are no police officers there. What do people in those kind of communities do when faced with serious problems, or where they have to, where criminals are and probably arrests have to be effected, but there are just no police? What do they do?
Well, in the criminal justice system, we have something we have citizen arrest. the community can arrest that person and turn them over to the police for investigation. So to help the police in that direction, it is necessary. I'm not saying that you should beat the person. Do not beat the person. But once you have subdued the person, you put them, they have been arrested, it is their responsibility to call the police for the police to carry on their proper investigation. But what we're looking at in communities now, people are taking law in their own hands, of which carry on more violent, getting the person, beating them, wounding them, sometimes the person die, which is not the right form of justice. The right form of justice is that bring the person to the police station, create evidence, because the burden of proof lies on the accused. So bring the person to the police, bring your evidence, then we investigate the person and send them to court. They be prosecuted and sent to jail, bear their term for what they have done.
Are there guarantees that when these criminals are arrested and turned over to the police, there won't be behind the scenes compromises?
No, we do not compromise cases.
Okay, let's just take this caller. Your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, I'm Moses Lamin, calling from Airfield.
From Airfield.
Yes.
Okay, what's your contribution?
I want to know whether the police were taught or trained in terms of a good man or approach.
If they were trained in terms of what good man or approach?
Yeah, because a family had a domestic problem wherein the police had to get involved. And the police went and started beat the people or telling the people that one of them is here more than said that if I have gun on me now, don't tell you I've been a terrible body. So I want to know whether the police were taught in terms of good manner.
So who said if he had gun, the person would be dead? Is it the police officer who said that?
The police officer, the big man that was heading the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want to say that. He said, you see this one, if I was having gun now, long time you'd be dead.
Okay, thanks. He heard you clearly, so let him respond.
Okay, thank you for that information. This is what I just told the man in studio here, that it is necessary to report these kind of cases to the police. If a policeman look at you and say that, if I have a gun, I will kill you, it's a threat. It's a terroristic threat. It's a crime. So you don't take it lightly. You go to the police. Even don't go to the same station where the man comes from, but bring his complaint to Central to the Professional Standard Division. I will always echo this every time I go on the radio. The Professional Standard Division. This is where we deal with police officers for what they have done to the citizens, because they are there to protect the citizens. We are trained. The only way a citizen can cooperate with a police officer is the manner of approach. Police officer approach gave you cooperation. According to our duty manual, your approach to the civilian will give you the kind of information that you want from that civilian. But if you went to that man in a harsh manner, you will never receive anything good from him. But we are trained from the police academy how to handle the citizen. We're trained to respect the rights of the citizen, not to abuse their rights. So what he told you, you should get his name, write a complaint to the Professional Standard Division, or straight to the police director. In that case, we'll be looking to get the person's name and write that police officer that said that if I have a gun, I will kill you. Okay. It's a threat to your life.
The rule of law is not just limited to crimes. It covers everything that has to do with law and order
Yes.
throughout the country.